Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 8, and our focus is going to be in verses 22 through 25. Verses 22 through 25. Now, at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus talked about four different kinds of soil and how some of the soil, basically, when the seed came to it, it didn't really accomplish anything. The seed didn't accomplish anything because it wasn't received with faith. And we asked the question, what kind of soil will you be? Then we looked at the lamp on a stand and Jesus saying, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Then we looked at Jesus' mother and brothers coming to visit because he was proclaiming the word of the Lord and gathering such crowds that he wasn't even taking time out to eat. But when his mother and brothers showed up, he wouldn't even go outside to speak to them because he was focused on doing the will of the Father and not allowing anything or anyone to distract him from obedience to the Lord. He said, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now, beginning in verse 22 of Luke chapter 8, this is God's word. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Disciples went and woke him saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus got into the boat, having said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So Jesus has set the agenda. Jesus has already told the outcome. Well, it seemed like just another ride on the lake. A bunch of these guys were commercial fishermen who had made their living on that lake before they ever met Jesus. So they've got boats and they've got experience. But while they're out there on the lake, what we call now the Sea of Galilee, while they're out there, this storm comes down and the waves are crashing over the sides of the boat. And the boat is filling with water. What are we going to do? Well, Jesus is sleeping. He is asleep in the storm. There have been times in my life when I felt like Jesus was sleeping while I was going through a storm. And let me tell you, it is not fun. In this account, Luke's recording of it, they woke him saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Check in Mark chapter 4, for example, same story. And one of the things that at least some of them said, because apparently it wasn't one person who went to wake up Jesus. It was consensus, we need Jesus. We need to wake him up. And so they went and woke him up. And in Mark chapter 4, they asked a question that Jesus was asked from time to time. And I would say Jesus is still asked this question from time to time. Don't you care that we're going to drown? We can see what's happening here. You may not be paying attention. You seem to be sound asleep. But don't you care that we're going to drown? How many of you ever felt like you were about to be drowned by a storm? Circumstances just crashing in on you, and it's like, I can't deal with this. It didn't start out this way. It wasn't as soon as some water got in the boat, they said, we're going to drown. They'd been on this lake before. It's not a lake like Lake Marion next door. It's a big lake, okay? And apparently, sometimes the storms can be sudden and fierce. So they asked, don't you care? They said, we're going to drown. We are going to drown. And Luke says they were in great danger. It wasn't just, you know, the fishermen are saying, it's okay, guys, this happens all the time. And the other guys who did other things, Matthew the tax collector and so forth, are saying, no, I think we're going to drown. They all thought they were going to drown because it was that bad a storm. So the consensus is we got to wake up Jesus. And when they wake him up, they say, we're going to drown. Don't you care? And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. Now, would you have expected that? I mean, I certainly wouldn't. He's talking to the forces of nature as if there's something else there, rebuking them, as if sometimes spiritual forces are at work through natural forces. We don't think in those terms. We just don't view reality that way. This is, to us, kind of a primitive mindset. This is not first world thinking. Why would you rebuke a storm? Why elsewhere would you rebuke a fever? Jesus sees the spiritual dynamic as well as the natural phenomenon. And Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. But then what happens? Immediately, they shut up. The equivalent, if you look in the Gospels, the different accounts, as to what he said when he rebuked them. Essentially, it was, be quiet. He didn't make a plea. Oh, please stop, please. He told it, be quiet. And immediately, boom. Now, I've never rebuked a storm. I did pray one time that the Lord would stop the pouring rain in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, when Billy Graham's daughter and her husband and kids were moving down there so that he could continue working on his advanced degree, that is, the son-in-law could. And I was one of their babysitters for their kids, and they asked me to help move them because I, back then when I was young, I could lift furniture and drive trucks and stuff. They had me drive the car and Stefan drove the truck. And Gigi was making the midday meal in the house that they just moved into, and Stefan and I and the kids followed us, went out to the truck, the rental truck, to sweep it out and fold up the blankets because you've got to take it back in good shape or you pay some kind of cleaning fee or something. So we're out there getting everything clean. And while we're in this metal U-Haul, it starts to really rain. And I mean, it's raining hard. And inside a metal truck, it's really loud. And we were about to go back in for lunch, and it was obvious we were going to get drenched. And Stefan said, well, I guess, you know, we'll put these moving blankets over our head to try and keep off some of the rain. And I surprised myself with what I said, but I said, well, let's just pray that the Lord will stop the rain. It's not something I'd ever done before, and it's not something I thought about. It just kind of popped out. I had prayed previously when I was in a pup tent that was leaking that the Lord would stop the rain, and he didn't. So I, based on that track record, I certainly didn't have experiential reason to anticipate that God would stop the rain when I prayed inside that truck that day. But again, sometimes God surprises us and speaks things through us that we wouldn't have anticipated or scripted ourselves. I said, let's pray, and I began to pray hoping that the rain would stop while I was praying. Okay? It continued, and eventually I honestly gave up and said, amen. And we walked to the back of the truck, and Stefan got a blanket and held it up like this over his head, and the kids got on either side, and the ramp's going down the back, and I just turned to him and I said, where is your faith? And I stepped out of the back of the truck, and the rain went shoo. I don't mean it slowed up. I mean, shoo. Totally stopped. I was as stunned as anyone. I tried to look calm and normal. But Stefan is like this, and the kids are absolutely amazed. And I said, are you going to carry the blanket in? And he just dropped it to the floor, and the kids ran down the little ramp, ran into the house to tell their mom, and Stefan and I walked wordlessly to the house. And he went in, and I stepped in, and as soon as I stepped into the house, pouring rain again. That was a cool experience. The last time that happened to me was then. Okay? That's the only time in my life that God has done something like that. And when he did, I began, my initial thing was exhilaration. I thought, this is really cool, and I am quite a prayer warrior. But then I began to think about the fact that I had been praying faithfully for some time that God would send rain to areas in Africa that desperately needed it, where people were dying because of a drought. And it began to bother me, and I asked the Lord, why would you honor my selfish prayer not wanting to get wet and not answer my prayer for the multitudes of people who need rain? I don't get it. I don't get why sometimes it seems like Jesus is asleep in the boat while the waves are coming over the top. When the fact is, he has the authority to say, shut up, and the storm quits immediately. I don't understand how that works. But don't you think it has everything to do with what goes on before? He only did what the Father told him to do. So you're saying, okay, it's not on Jesus, it's his Father who gets to decide all this stuff. Yeah. That's what the text makes clear. Jesus did the will of the Father. Well, so after the storm completely stops instantly, Jesus asked his disciples a question. They had asked him, don't you care that we're about to drown? He asked them, where's your faith? Where is your faith? Why would he ask that? Well, we mentioned it at the start of the passage. Jesus had already said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. If Jesus says we're going to the other side of the lake, where are we going? We're going to the other side of the lake. We're not going to drown in the middle. Well, how do you know that? Because the Father tells Jesus what to say and what to do, and Jesus says it and does it, and Jesus said we're going to the other side of the lake. Well, how are we going to do it if the boat goes down? Well, Jesus actually is able to walk on water, and he can get others to do it too, like Peter. Nothing is too hard for God. He made the lake. He made the mountains. He made the stars. Well, but I think we need a boat. Well, you think. Where's your faith? Is your faith in the boat? Then what do you do when the boat goes down? If your faith is in God and in his word, heaven and earth will pass away. God's word will never pass away. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. We're going. I don't know how we're going to get there. Don't know how we're going to do it if we're underwater, but whatever he says, he will do. We're going to make it. Do you know what he promises us? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I don't know. I haven't been a very good boy. I haven't been a very good girl. I've done a lot of things I shouldn't do. Where's your faith? Is your faith in Jesus? If you've got the strongest faith in the world in this political candidate or this financial investment or this new remedy for what ails you, how strong your faith isn't going to make the difference. The object of your faith is what makes the difference. If you have just a little bit of faith in Jesus, you're going to get through. That faith is going to grow. But what that faith looks like is you do what he says. You put his word into practice.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus asked his disciples, where's your faith? What are you trusting in? You trusting in the weather? Are you trusting in the boat? Are you trusting in your muscles? Are you trusting in your brain? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. You don't have to be afraid if your trust is in Jesus. If your trust is in anything else, you ought to be nervous. Because everything else can go away like that. What are you trusting in? Where is your faith? Well, that was his question to them. Their question to each other. I mean, I love the fact it says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another. It doesn't say, with joyous delight, they asked one another. Because they were terrified. I want you to understand, these guys are still very fearful, but the object of their fear has now shifted. Because you see, when the storm was raging, they were afraid they were going to drown. They're focused on the circumstances, and they're afraid they're going to drown. Now, the circumstances have completely changed. There is no more storm. They're not afraid they're going to drown. They're afraid of Jesus. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So here's our main point for today. Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Who is this? You see, when they started following Jesus, they were very hopeful that they had found the Messiah. They believed that they had found the Messiah. This is the guy we've been waiting on. This is the one who's going to help us to overthrow the Roman yoke and lower our taxes. This is what we've been waiting for, okay? The best years of our country are about to start right now. This is wonderful. He's the Messiah. Okay? John the Baptist was the forerunner, and he pointed to Jesus as the one who had been promised. And so this is exciting. Okay? And then Jesus does stuff that they weren't expecting. And Jesus is gonna do stuff that they don't want him to do. Like die. There was all kinds of expectation about what it would be like when Jesus came into his kingdom. Death was not one of the things that the disciples were counting on. Even though Jesus told them repeatedly, this is what's going to happen. This is what the Father said. This is the way it's going to be. Look at the scriptures. They didn't want to hear it. Who is this? They asked one another. He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. If the winds and the water obey Jesus, then we should consider carefully how we listen. We need to think about what he has said, and we need to put it into practice. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice, Jesus. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who do we think we are that we don't have to? Where's your faith? Do you trust in God? Do you believe his word? Are you putting it into practice? Be careful how you listen, Jesus said. Listen to God's word and put it into practice. Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Will you?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.